Ezekiel chapter 16, verses 44 through 63. This is the word of the Lord. Behold, everyone who uses proverbs will use this proverb about you: like mother, like daughter. You are the daughter of your mother, who loathed her husband and her children. And you are the sister of your sisters, who loathed their husbands and their children. Your mother was a Hittite, and your father an Amorite. And your elder sister is Samaria, who lived with her daughters to the north of you. And your younger sister, who lived to the south of you, is Sodom with her daughters. Not only did you walk in their ways and do according to their abominations, within a very little time you were more corrupt than they in all your ways. As I live, declares the Lord God, your sister Sodom and her daughters have not done as you and your daughters have done. Behold, this was the guilt of your sister Sodom. She and her daughters had pride, excess of food, and prosperous ease, but did not aid the poor and needy. They were haughty and did an abomination before me, so I removed them when I saw it. Samaria has not committed half your sins. You have committed more abominations than they, and have made your sisters appear righteous by all the abominations that you have committed. Bear your disgrace, you also, for you have intervened on behalf of your sisters. Because of your sins, in which you acted more abominably than they are more in the right than you. So be ashamed, you also, and bear your disgrace, for you have made your sisters appear righteous. I will restore their fortunes, but the fortunes of Sodom and her daughters, and the fortunes of Samaria and her daughters, and I will restore your own fortunes in their midst, that you may bear your disgrace and be ashamed of all that you have done, becoming a consolation to them. As for your sisters, Sodom and her daughters shall return to their former state, and Samaria and her daughters shall return to their former state, and you and your daughters shall return to your former state. Was not your sister Sodom a byword in your mouth in the day of your pride, before your wickedness was uncovered? Now you have become an object of reproach for the daughters of Syria and all those around her, and for the daughters of the Philistines. Those all around you despise you. You bear the penalty of your lewdness and your abominations, declares the Lord. For thus says the Lord God, I will deal with you as you have done, you who have despised the oath in breaking the covenant. Yet I will remember my covenant with you in the days of your youth, and I will establish for you an everlasting covenant. Then you will remember your ways and be ashamed when you take your sisters, both your elder and your younger, and I give them to you as daughters, but not on account of the covenant with you. I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall know that I am the Lord, that you may remember and be confounded, and never open your mouth again because of your shame. When I atone for you for all that you have done, declares the Lord God. This is the word of the Lord. The heart of man is proud, and so he fears shame. In Ezekiel chapter 16, the Lord reveals to us the necessity of shame. And so we must let go of our pride, that we may hear him speak. And we need not fear what he may say. For if he calls us to shame, we know that it is for our good. For he is good, and he does what is good. In Ezekiel chapter 16, the goodness of the Lord is on full display. As we hear the story of Jerusalem's birth, how she was neglected by her mother, abhorred by her father, cast out and left to die. How the Lord passed by her and saw her wallowing in her blood and said to her, "Live." How he became a father to her so that she flourished and was adorned with womanhood. How he passed by her again and saw that she was at the age for love, and spread the corner of his garment over her and covered her nakedness. How he became a husband to her, perfecting her beauty in the splendor of his glory. In Ezekiel chapter 16, the goodness of the Lord is on full display. But the faithlessness of Jerusalem is also on full display. As we hear how she played the whore and worshipped other gods, even offering on their altars the children whom she had borne to the Lord. Few words are more painful to hear than what the Lord says here to his bride. Were your whorings so small a matter that you slaughtered my children and delivered them up as an offering by fire? But she did not heed his voice or remember his love. She forsook his care and gave herself to the nations. And so in Ezekiel chapter 16, we read of the judgment which the Lord pronounces upon Jerusalem how she would be stripped of her glory and left naked and bare. And now in verse 44, the Lord returns to Jerusalem's spiritual genealogy. Like mother, like daughter. She is the daughter of her mother who loathed her husband and her children. Her mother was a Hittite. Her father, an Amorite. The Lord is not recounting his people's physical lineage, but their spiritual lineage. He identifies them with the peoples who first dwelt in the land of Canaan, who his people were not to be like. But like them they became, and worse. And the Lord continues this theme when he identifies the sisters of Jerusalem, her sisters who also loathed their husbands and their children. In verse 46, the Lord identifies Jerusalem's elder sister as Samaria. And this makes good sense. For Samaria was the capital city of the northern kingdom of Israel. After the reign of Solomon, the kingdom was split into two, with 10 tribes to the north forming the kingdom of Israel, and 2 tribes to the south forming the kingdom of Judah. Samaria became the capital of Israel, and Jerusalem the capital of Judah. Samaria then truly was the sister of Jerusalem. But the Lord is not here describing a physical kinship. He is describing a spiritual kinship. And that becomes very clear to us when he identifies Jerusalem's younger sister as Sodom. To Sodom, Jerusalem bore no physical relation. But to Sodom, Jerusalem did bear a spiritual resemblance. We know well of Sodom from the book of Genesis. We know well how the Lord rained down fire from heaven upon her. And when we think of Sodom, we think of the sin of sexual immorality. But in Ezekiel chapter 16, we see her sin was not limited to sexual immorality. Sexual immorality was not the root of her sin, nor was it even the most heinous of her sins. In verse 49, the Lord reveals the guilt of Sodom. She and her daughters were full of pride. They had excess of food. They had prosperous ease, but they did not aid the poor and the needy. And this helps us to understand something mentioned three times in the story of Sodom in Genesis. The outcry against her. As the angel said to Lot, "We are about to destroy this place because the outcry against its people has become great before the Lord." When we read Ezekiel chapter 16, we may understand that this outcry was not only the cry of those outraged by what was being done in Sodom. It was the cry of those oppressed by what was being done in Sodom. It was the cry of those oppressed by the pride of Sodom. The sin of Sodom was not limited to sexual immorality, nor was it the root of Sodom's sin. The root of her sin was pride. We may congratulate ourselves on not being as bad as Sodom. But congratulations are not in order. For the sin that led to Sodom's destruction dwells deep within us all. The Lord compares Jerusalem to Sodom and calls Sodom her sister. But if this were not itself astonishing, the Lord says something even more astonishing. Not only has Jerusalem become like Samaria and Sodom, she has become worse than Samaria and Sodom. So much worse has she become that she makes them to appear righteous. How wicked must you be to make Sodom appear righteous? Jerusalem's sin was beyond measure, and God's wrath against her was just. And so it may surprise us to read in verse 53 his promise to restore her, to restore her together with Sodom and Samaria. "I will restore their fortunes, both the fortunes of Sodom and her daughters, and the fortunes of Samaria and her daughters. And I will restore your own fortunes in their midst." But what sort of restoration is this? For in verse 54, the Lord says, "He will do this that you may bear your disgrace and be ashamed of all that you have done, becoming a consolation to them." The restoration of Jerusalem includes her people's bearing their disgrace and being ashamed of their sin, and so becoming a consolation to Samaria and Sodom. What kind of restoration is this that includes becoming an object of reproach, that includes being despised? What sort of fortune is this that includes becoming a source of consolation to sinners? May we call this restoration? May we call it fortune? We must call it thus, for God calls it thus. And we are only unable to do so if we value our pride more than His grace. The restoration promised in Ezekiel chapter 16 includes the loss of all pride. It leaves us with no room to boast. In verse 59, the Lord promises to judge Jerusalem for her breaking of the covenant. That is, the covenant which He made with her on Sinai when He gave to her His law. But in verse 60, He also promises to remember His covenant with her from the days of her youth. That is, the covenant which He made with Abraham, a covenant dependent upon His promise alone, an everlasting covenant, a covenant that cannot be broken, as it is impossible for God to lie. Ezekiel chapter 16 ends with God's promise to be gracious to His people, with the assurance that though we are faithless and false, He is faithful and true. Ezekiel chapter 16 ends with His promise to make atonement for all that His people have done. And in this way, we find comfort. But we must not overlook the sort of response that this grace is meant to elicit. To be ashamed. To be ashamed of your ways. The restoration which God promises includes His people feeling deeply the shame of their sin. A shame as deep as their pride. A feeling that cuts so deep that it causes us to shut our mouths and be silent. The grace of God, this grace that is free, it requires the loss of our pride and the acknowledgement of our shame. God's promise should confound us, as we behold what was required for its fulfillment. As we behold what was necessary to make atonement for our sins. The sacrifice of His beloved Son. When we behold the cross of Christ, as we behold Him stripped naked and bare, faithfulness bearing our faithlessness, humility bearing our pride, when we behold the cross, we are confounded. We are confounded by the immeasurable shame of our sin. As we meet the immeasurable worth of the One who suffered for our sin. He did not open His mouth. He was silent because of our shame. On the cross, He bore the full weight of our pride. And so the cross must empty us of all pride. This is how Jerusalem becomes a mother to Samaria and Sodom. This is how the church becomes a mother to sinners. By acknowledging the shame of her sin. By acknowledging that she has not earned her salvation. By refusing to pretend that she deserves her salvation. By confessing that she exists by His grace alone. Jerusalem did not become a mother to Samaria and Sodom through her own covenant with them, but through the Lord's covenant with her. And so the church is a mother to all nations, not through political alliance or through the proclamation of her greatness, but through her union with Christ, through the proclamation of His gospel, calling sinners to repentance, calling them to be ashamed of their ways, calling them to humble themselves before the Lord as they behold His grace displayed in Christ. Her testimony is this: if God can save a sinner such as I, He can save a sinner such as you. And so, in calling others to feel the shame of their sin, the church must feel the shame of her sin. You must feel the shame of your sin. For here there is no room for pride. The gospel must empty you of all pride, such that you never open your mouth again because of your shame. But do not misunderstand. This shame does not lead us to misery. This shame leads us to joy. For Christ has not only borne the guilt of our sins, he has also borne our shame. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, caring nothing for the shame, and is seated at the right hand of God. Christ bore your shame for you, that you might bear it in him. When you feel the weight of your shame, you know the worth of Christ. Shame only has dominion over you as long as you are still holding on to your pride. But when you let go of that pride, when you humble yourself before the Lord, your shame turns to thanks. And thanks turns to praise. And praise turns to joy. You are never to open your mouth again to proclaim your worth. But when you close your mouth because of your shame, God opens your mouth to sing his praise, to proclaim the worth of his Son. May you find your worth in him. Apart from him is everlasting shame. But with him is the fullness of joy. Not to us. Not to us. But to his name be glory. Glory of the Father. Glory of the Son. Glory of the Spirit. World without end. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, through the grace of your Son, by the power of your Spirit, grant us to bear our shame. that we may find joy in you. We ask this for the sake of your Son, the shepherd of the sheep, the bridegroom of the church, the Lord of glory. Amen.